Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We'll remind you all that you can weigh in and let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartinwkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your mind. Of course, you know you can give us a ring right here at the Current Sports Studio by calling 517-355-9527. And how have you been enjoying the show so far? I encourage all of the dedicated Current Sports listeners out there to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and pose some conversations that you would love to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, Facebook me, or email me, or give us a call right here at the studio. We want to hear what's on your mind. Well, lots to talk about, and we begin the show with a great guest that's going to help you live a healthier lifestyle. He is the director of personal training over at Snap Fitness in East Lansing, Mike Ball. Welcome to Current Sports.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate it.
How you doing, bud? You all right?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm just sitting here mesmerized by that introduction. I got to get my game face back on here.
Hey, that's how we do it here on Current Sports.
That's good.
You know, I get into a mode. I get into a zone. I'm excited. Every time 1 o'clock hits, I'm like, it's game time. You know what I mean?
I'm going to put you on my schedule. I got to start listening.
Definitely.
Move my clients out of there at 1 and start listening to you.
Please spread the word, Mike. That'd be great.
Thank you so much, man.
We have Mike Ball, again, personal trainer over at Stat Fitness in East Lansing. First of all, Mike, let's go to square one. Let's get to the root of it. Where and how did you start as a personal trainer?
Started relatively recently. I've had spent most of my adult life doing something in the health and wellness fitness field. Started as a personal trainer, however, in October of 2011, Snap Fitness East Lansing. Opportunity arose to do that. I had worked at a variety of capacities in cardiac rehabilitation. In a phase three, what's called a phase three program, where you have individuals that have had heart attacks or at high risk for heart attacks. Mm-hmm. And you work with them in developing exercise programs that really help to key me in on, you know, really what to look for in individuals when you're designing a program to make sure it's effective and safe. Had started out as a faculty member at LCC, spent about 25 years, still work as an adjunct faculty member there. I love teaching. It's a passion, so it's something I'll probably always do.
Nice.
Worked here in Lansing at five different plants, when they still had five different plants here, as a worksite wellness coordinator. Made some great friends there. We went right on the line and basically developed exercise programs, taught classes, did blood pressure, cholesterol screens, all this stuff. So all kinds of health and wellness types of things that I was involved with. But personal training wasn't one of them until a couple years ago. I'd trained a lot, had opportunity to train a lot of athletes, work with teams, and I finally thought, you know, let's formalize this. Let's do something. See how it goes. And just, you know, if it's something that works out, great. If not, we'll move on and try another venture. And lo and behold, a couple months into it, developed a good client base, which I still have and expanded upon, and I love it. It's a lot of fun. It's a high energy type of thing. Mm-hmm. You got to bring it every day, you know, because your clients see you down, they're not going to have a good session. You got to bring energy, you got to bring focus, motivation, got to have some fun, but you also got to make sure you structure it in such a way that they can reach their goals. They're going to see progress. You just package it all and try to, you know, make it a great experience.
So whoever your clientele is, they feed off your energy.
There's some days when I think I'm feeding off theirs. You know, if I come in, maybe I had quite enough caffeine in my system. It's mutual, you know, probably right. Exchange there. But I think it's important to do that. I think when this is my opinion, a personal trainer brings several things to the table. One is expertise. There's a lot of great trainers out there. There really are. They get certified. They go to school. They understand. They know how to develop a program and monitor people and prevent injuries and structure. But I think the reason people come back to you as a client is because of that relationship. You have that fitness partnership. It's a personality. Mm-hmm. You know, and everybody's different. Not everybody wants to come in and joke around. Some people are very serious. You have to find out what best suits your client and develop that level, you know, develop that motivation and that rapport with them on a level that's going to be best suited to their needs. Mm-hmm. And I've had people tell me this. That's what keeps you coming back. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you got to be good at what you do, but you also got to be able to provide it in a way that it's appealing to people, and you got to provide it at a reasonable price. You got to work within the wheelhouse of that clientele, that client base, and that demographic you work with.
Very true. And most of your clientele, and we were talking before the show about this, come from our students at MSU, right?
Vast majority are. I'm going to say 80%. If I had to throw a number out there, probably students. So they're, you know, young population, 18 to 22, coming in with, you know, typical interest in terms of fitness. They might want to lose a few pounds for spring break. You might want to gain some muscle, you know, for this or that. A lot of it's aesthetic. It's not so much, you know, specific health reasons, though some do. But the age range I have is pretty broad. I've got young as 12. Working with a hockey player, and as old as 65. So I've worked with people of varying capacities in terms of their physical capabilities, varying goals. And that's what makes it fun. Not everybody, it's not a cookie cutter. Not everybody's the same. People come in, and for whatever reason, referral, they've heard about me, whatever. And so it really makes the day a lot more interesting to be able to train these people with, like I said, different skill sets, different goals, and it forces me to stay on my toes because you got to have a completely different type of a program to make it effective for those people in the long run, as opposed to, you know, maybe the typical college student that comes in. But the vast majority would be college students, MSU students. We're Spartans all the way.
Oh, definitely. Now, Mike, when you talk about training a college student compared to your youngest client who's 12, I mean, what are you working with the 12-year-old with? I mean, how do you go about training him? Because he's still developing physically, right?
Absolutely. You got to be careful. He's not going to be able to do heavy lifting. As an athlete, what you want to do with him is get him comfortable moving around your body weight. So you do a lot of things that are going to help him in terms of quickness, in terms of balance, coordination, strength for his own body weight. He's not lifting heavy, but he can do a lot of things for conditioning. In his case, he'll transfer to the ice or transfer to the athletic field or just build confidence. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. As a young athlete, these kids are growing. Sometimes they go through periods a little bit awkward because of their development. So you're trying to get them confident within their own bodies so they can perform the best that they can on the field. And, you know, it's tough. You know, some of these kids come in, it's like they're in an environment with a gym, with a trainer that's a lot older than them. And so you want to do is just settle them down, have some fun, talk their own language, you know, communicate with them, and then start the process of really implementing these exercises and get them to learn it. And there's a big confidence boost that comes from doing these types of things. They feel like they're going to be better. They're going to be better because they're better conditioned, but also that confidence transfers to the field too.
That is pretty cool. So, Mike, in your opinion, what is the key to living a healthy lifestyle?
It's a good question. I think if I knew all the answers to this, I'd probably be...
Be a millionaire, huh?
I'd be a millionaire. Yeah, I'd be selling a book somewhere. The first thing I think you have to do is you have to put a priority on your health. A lot of us don't do that. We're looking for the quick fix, the magic bullet, whatever you want to call it. We want to be able to get in and get that bikini body for the summer or get fit for a wedding we got coming up or maybe a competition, whatever it is. We're thinking short term. We want the results quickly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, none of us fall out of shape overnight. It's a slow process that gets us to that point. It's going to take some time and effort and commitment, and it's going to take some change, and change is difficult. So you got to face the reality of it. You know, there's going to be some effort involved. But you also got to realize that, you know, if you're smart and you really understand the process of nutrition and exercise and you go about studying this or getting a trainer, hopefully doing both, learning your body and how it can work most effectively, you can make it as efficient as possible. You want to use that time in the gym or wherever you might be exercising as efficiently as possible. It's not about the duration of the workout. It's about really using that time effectively, developing proper intensity, progression, things like this to challenge yourself to see those results as quickly as possible. But you need to be able to invest in this as a long-term strategy because even when you get to your goals, you know, hopefully you'll be able to reach those physical goals, you still have to maintain those. You have to maintain a focus on health and fitness. So it's still a process that's really going to last a lifetime. That's what I want people to do, is understand that this is something you'll be doing in some capacity, hopefully, the rest of your life, not just the 3 months leading up to spring break.
Patience is the key, then.
Exactly.
Patience is a virtue, folks. Now, Mike, for the average person out there who is just trying to eat better, we talk about eating habits here. Where should they start, and what should they be putting inside of their body?
Well, number one thing, and this is going to take a step back from even what they're eating. I like to people to focus on why they're eating. It might sound strange, but a lot of us eat for reasons other than hunger. We're eating for emotional reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. And it could be anything. It could be
girlfriend breaks up with a boyfriend, needs some ice cream, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Exactly. It could be various stress. Reasons. It could be boredom. It could be, hey, my roommate's eating. It looks good. I think I'll have something to eat, even though you really physically don't need any food.
Right.
You know, it could be advertisements, you know, the smell of food. There's all these different reasons that we end up consuming food other than our bodies need it. So we need to be in tune with those signals that drive us to eat. So that's number one. Get rid of the psychological reasons for eating. Focus on the physical. Mm-hmm. Number two is it's really portion control is huge. We tend to eat way overeat on portions. You go out to a restaurant, portion sizes are huge. They really are for most places compared to what people really need on a daily basis based on their activity level.
Right.
So we got to get portions under control. Even if you're not making huge changes in terms of what you eat, it's getting the portions under control so we're matching expenditure with intake. Or hopefully, if you're trying to lose weight, reducing intake, less than expenditure so we can start losing some body fat. Mm-hmm. The third thing, I'm not a supplement guy. And I can give you reasons why I'm not a supplement guy. I believe in good, healthy, whole, natural foods. I think we really try to get as much away from the processed foods as we can. Fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean meats, these sorts of things. It's so easy to just grab something and throw it in the microwave and cook it up. But it's much better for our health and for our learning of how to be healthy and cook properly and integrate, even our busy schedules, integrate proper nutrition in there to learn how to do some of these things on our own with fresh, basic ingredients. It doesn't take that much effort.
Right.
You just got to learn a few things, and the rewards are substantial.
Now, I want to ask you, Mike, when you talk about processed foods and you talk about McDonald's and Wendy's, because I tell you what, man, I've definitely fallen victim of going out way too much to eat, just getting something really quick, going to McDonald's, give me a burger, some fries to hold me over. What do processed foods do to your body?
Well, I think sometimes we use the term processed foods, and we put this big umbrella over it, and we think of them as being evil and cancer-causing and all these things. Processed basically just means you're taking something, you're adding some chemicals to it to either enhance the shelf life of it or affect the taste or the texture or the color or something like that. But what it does is a lot of these processed foods tend to be higher in salt, higher in sugar, high in saturated fat. They tend to have a lot of additives to them that we really don't want to put in our bodies to make them more appealing, to make them be something that we're going to satisfy our cravings. So what we have to do is decondition ourselves. We have to get used to having less of these type of food additives in our food. So things, we don't need to be blasted with constant sugar. We don't need to be blasted with a lot of high fat intake. It takes some adjustment, but we can do it. So we're satisfied with a little cleaner way of eating. And our bodies are going to respond by just feeling better and having more energy. Doesn't mean you can't have those things once in a while. I tell you, I try to eat healthy, but I'll go fast food route once in a while. And I'll be honest with you.
Do you?
Good, hot. You know, I get some McDonald's fries with salt, and they're hot out of there. Those things taste good, man.
They're really good.
I'm telling you, they're good.
Oh, man.
But what you do is you have your fix, and you get back on track again. There's nothing wrong with some cheat meals. There's nothing wrong with cheat meals. They do a couple things for it. Psychologically, it's good to know that, hey, it's not like I can't ever eat these foods again. Okay. I can go out and have a meal with my spouse or my boyfriend or girlfriend or my buddies, and I can have these foods once in a while. They help to keep that thermostat, that metabolism, from setting too low. A lot of times when we're restricting our calories, we come down to the point where our body stopped burning a lot of calories. We jolt it back up with a little cheat meal. So there's nothing wrong with that on occasion. The key is not just to say, oh, well, I blew my diet. Now I'm done. Forget it. We'll try again next month. You just get right back on track.
Yeah.
Start eating healthy, watching what you're doing, and you can work those in. A couple of those a week. I actually recommend a lot to my clients to do
that. A couple of cheat meals a week.
You can't go crazy, though. It's not something you sit there. You're not at a food trough. You're not just sitting there shoveling it in. Okay, it's something where you go out and it's like, you know what? I can eat what I want. If I want some pizza, I want to have a beer or something, I'm going to do it.
Right.
Okay, it's going to be moderation. I'm not just going to, you know, at a cheat meal, I'm going to get everything in I can because I know it's going to end here in another hour. You just get in until you're satisfied.
Yeah.
Don't feel guilty. Say, you know what? I'm getting back in the gym tomorrow. We're going to have some extra energy. I'm going to be all revved up and ready to go. Back on track with my nutrition. Everything's fine. You can't undo weeks or months worth of good eating, you know, or even days in this case, with one meal. Don't do a guilt trip on yourself. Let yourself enjoy food. We should be able to enjoy our food. And what will happen over time, Al, is that you'll have less and less desire for that. It won't sit well. It won't taste as good. The flavors will be, it's too intense, too salty, it's too sweet, it's too fatty.
Yeah.
So you kind of gravitate away. It's self-regulating in that way. But don't be too restrictive. I think that you play psychological games with yourself and it makes it that much harder. We don't want to make the process any harder than it is. We want to enjoy our food. We want to be active. We want to develop a lifestyle for the long term.
I like
that. The long haul.
I like that. You know, I got to ask you something, too, because I actually had a boxer on a few weeks ago talking about health and what he puts in his body. And I have a question for you. When you talk about salads at McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's or something like that, are those salads good salads to put in your body, or are those salads not the same type of salads that you're getting at Meijer or something like that?
Well, they're good and bad. I mean, it's good you're having veggies in there. I mean, obviously the philosophy that I take is you want to have as dark a color on the fruits and vegetables you eat as possible, because what that means is more pigments, probably more antioxidants, more phytochemicals. It's healthier. In other words, romaine lettuce, kale, spinach is going to be healthier than iceberg lettuce. Most of the salads have iceberg lettuce as a base.
But
putting tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers and things like this, that's healthy. The thing is what you're going to put on top of there. You know, if you load it up with, because I've seen people go in there and you know, they get one dressing, two dressings. Oh, I need three or four dressings to go on top of there. Well, you're adding a lot of extra calories now. Cheese, you know, a little hard-boiled egg is fine because it's giving you some protein and certainly giving you some benefits of balancing this meal out, maybe some grilled chicken. But people can go overboard and add, now we're throwing bacon. Now we're throwing, you know, sunflower seeds. Now we're putting things that maybe in limited quantities are fine, but now you've taken the salad that might have been a couple hundred calories with a few extra ingredients on, and now you've made 700 or 800. You might as well sit down and have the double Whopper with cheese. So in terms of calories.
Gotcha.
Are you getting more nutrients and fiber? Yes. But is it a smart, healthy choice in terms of weight control? Not necessarily, depending on what you put on it. So you got to choose wisely.
Yep. So those salads are okay, but watch what you put on those salads.
Yeah. I mean, I think a little bit of chicken is a great, you know, something like that is great because it adds some protein. And I'm big on getting protein at each meal along with some, you know, some healthy nutrients. Maybe go with a light vinaigrette, some kind of light dressing. You'll let your palate kind of adjust to a lighter, healthier fare, because you know, we all know we're going to feel better after that meal. We're not going to be bogged down, feel like we go take a little nap. We're ready to go. It's in the system. Let's go do this. You know, so yeah, salads can be healthy, but the typical salads that we get these fast food places, they know what people like to eat. They know they want to load it up with this stuff. So that's what they present to you. You got to make smart choice.
Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the director of personal training over at Snap Fitness in East Lansing, Mike Ball, such a great guy, trying to teach us to live a healthier life here. Now, Mike, I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to get into the whole biogenesis thing that's going on in Major League Baseball right now. Of course, as you know, you're a baseball guy. You've been following it, as we talked before the show, pretty intently. And the most recent case, or the first punishment that's been handed out, has to do with Ryan Braun. He's been suspended for the rest of the season because he has been caught using PEDs. And there's a lot of players on this list, including Alex Rodriguez, who we'll talk about later on in the show. Now, for those out there who don't know about PEDs, specifically, Mike, what do performance-enhancing drugs do to the human body?
Well, I think when you're looking at athletes, these guys, and I don't know any of them personally, so I'm not going to pass judgment on them in that way, but I know, understanding the physiology, when I went through school, my dissertation work involved trying to develop healthy alternatives to anabolic steroid use in high school athletes, because that's where a lot of this starts. It doesn't start at the professional level. It starts at lower levels. It certainly can in a lot of cases, where the kids feel like they need an edge. You know, they need to be bigger, faster, stronger, because you know they feel their competitors are doing it, their competitors have an edge, and they're not thinking about the potential health implications. They're thinking about how good an athlete I can be on the field. And when you're young like that, you're not thinking 40, 50 years down the year. You're like, I want to be a better athlete today, this season. So I think the mentality carries through. Not all these guys started at that age, but the mentality starts very young in both boys and girls that are trying to compete at a higher level. Now, when it comes to baseball, I mean, we all know there's been steroid scandals in the past. There's been a lot of controversy on Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds and things like this. But my perspective is on what the athletes do. It's not in this day and age what we're seeing now are athletes not so much trying to become Superman. They aren't trying to become the Incredible Hulk out there, okay? Mm-hmm. Because it isn't necessarily going to correlate that well with what they do on the field. I mean, you want to be stronger, but you don't necessarily have to look like a bodybuilder in order to do that. So a lot of them have kind of, I think, gone the route of what's called human growth hormone, or HGH, because what HGH does is a little different effect on the body. It's a recovery-inducing agent. What it does is it helps heal tissues. It helps the body kind of repair and recover from what the effects of a long season. These guys play 162 games plus, depending. They're getting older. You know, they're starting to have some physical problems. They're trying to extend those careers for personal goals or for monetary reasons. And there's a huge temptation to do that. So I think it's kind of transformed a little bit from, you know, when we had in the 90s with some of these guys, just, you know, all of a sudden you see them one season, next season, these are guys in their 30s and they're 40 pounds heavier. It seemed unnatural to guys that are just maybe physically not transforming as much, but they're doing it for the simple reason of trying to stay on the field, being as strong in game 162 as they are in game 161, or in game one. And the thing that really is frustrating to me is that, you know, these guys, Ryan Braun, I have nothing against Ryan Braun, but, you know, when he gets up in front of the camera and just blatantly, I mean, I thought this guy's a great actor. He should go to Hollywood. That should be his next venture.
That's what
upset
me.
He's out there looking people, looking that camera directly in the eye and basically lying to him. And he let a lot of people down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope he can, for his sake, he can come back from this. I mean, it's a very shameful situation for him, and not to target him, because there's a lot of people that were involved in this, and a lot of people that haven't been named and won't be caught. Mm-hmm. But I think baseball's trying to send a message. They're coming down hard on some people because they're trying to discourage the continued use of this and discourage young people, minor leagues, and even younger from doing this, knowing, hey, there's repercussions. You'll be kicked out of the game. You'll be suspended for a season. They've got to do it. They're not getting everybody, but they've got to make scapegoats out of a few people in order to get the message across, and that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and that's the thing when you look at Ryan Braun. That's the thing that really frustrated me because, I mean, kind of like Lance Armstrong did. I mean, anybody who will bring it up, he says, I'm clean, stop asking me, just lying blatantly to the camera. And then, stuff hits the fan, and he comes out, and even when it hit the fan and he was caught doing this, he made himself feel like, with the quotes he used, like, my family's, you know, been terrorized with this, and, you know, we're going through a hard time right now.
He's
a victim or something. I mean, you brought this on yourself, but that's another topic right there. But, all right, so, Mike, when you look at steroids again, so you talked about their effect on the human body. What are the negative effects to anyone out there using steroids in the long run?
Negative effects really are a lot of them in the long run. That's the thing. A lot of times people will use these drugs and they won't necessarily, they're not going to die of a heart attack in 6 months. It's just not going to happen. But they have a tremendously devastating effect on the cardiovascular system over time. So what are you seeing? No question about it. So what you're seeing, they tend to, for example, they lower good cholesterol or HDL levels. Some of the drugs can lower them precipitously. You have a low HDL level for many years, you're at much greater risk of a heart attack. A lot of individuals get high blood pressure when they take these drugs. Mm. A lesser known complication, but one that's very significant and could impact the short term, they increase red blood cell production. So people literally get a very high hematocrit, which can be great for athletic purposes. Red blood cells carry oxygen. They're very bad because the viscosity of the blood thickens and puts them, predisposes them to a risk for a heart attack. So in the long run, I mean, you see these athletes sometimes having problems in later years, having, you know, heart attacks or surgeries or whatever the situation might be. That's probably the number one thing. Is there some relationship to cancer? Yes, possibly liver, prostate cancer, things like this. But the big one is the cardiovascular. And I think the other thing is for some individuals, there's some psychotic effects from this. I'm not saying everybody that takes them runs around and in roid rage starting, you know, beating people up and causing all kinds of mayhem, but some people are more susceptible to this than others, and there's a strong psychological component from these drugs. They're derivatives of testosterone. We all know what testosterone does. It's what makes men unique in terms of their characteristics. And when, you know, young men go through puberty, there's a very profound psychological change that they have in terms of their confidence and their aggression and so forth. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see that manifest itself. So are there health risks? Absolutely. Are they present in the short term as much as the long term? No. And I think the most disturbing thing, though, was a lot of athletes just don't care. Remember, there was a survey done several years ago where they asked, and I forget the exact statistics, but overwhelming number of athletes said, if you could take a drug that would make you the best in the world, but you'd be dead in 5 years, it was actually a five-year window, how many of you would take it? It was well over 75% that said they'd
do it. Over 75%.
They didn't care.
Wow.
Yet to them, the here and now is what mattered. Mm-hmm. And you can partly understand it because they're devoting their entire life to this. Everything, they're putting all their eggs in that one basket. The problem is there's so much more to life than that competition. After that, there's a whole life to live. Mm-hmm. You got to go out and enjoy it, and you want to be healthy for it. So right. You got to think long term. Just like with what you eat and your exercise, you got to think about what you're putting in your body.
75% said they would take a drug to become the best in the world and in 5 years die.
Yep.
They said they would do it.
Yep, the statistics paralleled that. It might have been very close. It might even have been a little bit higher, but it was shy. These were Olympic athletes, and these are people that are so, you know, it's kind of tunnel vision. And you know, you mentioned Michael Phelps, which is very interesting. I'm curious to see if he's going to come back and try to add that medal count. But you're talking about athletes that are at such a high level and competing against the best and with tremendous pressure on themselves and from others to succeed. And it's their whole world. I mean, it's locked into that performance. So you can see how that pressure can get to them. But the frustrating thing is, there's so much to the world for their lives beyond this window of time that they're competing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, not only their legacy and how people view them, but just going out and just settling in and just being a regular person and you know, having some fun, getting a real job, going out and doing things. There's just a mortal life than what's happening to you in the next few months or the next few years. And you know, getting people to understand that these athletes is difficult. It's very difficult. So it's a challenge. But, you know, I think we're getting there. A lot of these drugs, the testing for these drugs is becoming better. The only thing that concerns me a little bit is that, you know, athletes and the doctors in particular and the researchers are a lot of times one step ahead. They're coming up with things that we don't even know about right now.
Like you said, with the doctors being one step ahead, the drugs that they're giving these athletes, they find little loopholes on how to get athletes to pass their test once they do get tested for these drugs, right?
Yep.
That's why it takes years and years and years for them to get caught, am I right?
It's very hard to catch up. I mean, there's a variety of things that athletes can do to avoid being tested positive. But sometimes the structure has changed just marginally in one of these drugs. Or, you know, they're starting to get into the area now where they have the expertise to do specific gene therapies where they can actually change the genetic code so it's going to express itself differently. You know, an individual could modify his ability to gain muscle mass or lose body fat. Mm-hmm. We can't test for that right now. So that doesn't mean we should have the perspective that all athletes are dirty. It just means that they have to be vigilant because these things are happening. These are researchers and labs and things that are going on that are creating these products and so forth. So you don't want to take any fun. I love sports. You're a sports talk guy. You have a strong passion for it. But you know we want to know that the playing field's level. I think people feel better when the playing field is level and everybody's competing and on the same terms. So they're just going to have to stay vigilant and do what they got to do to try to enforce that as best possible.
Very, very true. Mike, do you ever see this steroid epidemic at any point in time in the future or down the line dying out in the world of sports and fitness, or do you see it becoming worse?
The steroid part of it, I think, to some degree will transfer, unfortunately, I think maybe to something else. We were talking about some of the other possible ways that research can stay a step ahead. But I think as long as we put so much emphasis, this is kind of a dichotomy. We're talking a sports show here. We put a lot of emphasis on sports and on winning and on success. There's a lot of money involved. As long as that's there, and that's going to continue to be there for the foreseeable future, a lot of people are going to do whatever's necessary to be successful and have a piece of that pie. So to some degree, is it going to go away completely? No. But I think if they continue to see, I mean, these athletes that see these guys getting tested and kicked out for a season or half a season, that's scary to them. They don't want to be the one whose career ends,
right,
you know, and have to live with that stigma. So I think those types of things can be as much a deterrent as the testing sometimes. The very fact that, hey, I might get caught, and if I do, my career is basically done.
So true. So true. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with the director of personal training over at Snap Fitness in East Lansing. Mike, before I let you go, how can people get in touch with you?
Okay, a couple of ways they can go. I think the way we communicate a little bit was through my Facebook page.
His Facebook is great, people. You got to get them on. Just tell them about your Facebook page. I love your Facebook
Mike, page. I picked a horrible name. I don't know what I was thinking when I put this. Mike Ball, Director of Personal Training, Snap Fitness. But you can get in there. You type in Google Mike Ball, Director, and you're going to find me, my big head on there. I try to have some fun with this. We try to make it informative. We put out some good information, but we put some quirky stuff on there because that's just my style. I like to have fun with fitness. Fitness has got to be fun. And it's got to be effective. I just like to blend the two together. So we have some fun with it. Go to my Facebook page, check it out, and you throw a like in there. Contact me. I'll get you a workout. I'd love nothing better to get people a free workout, come out and try Snap Fitness, see if personal training's for them. We can have a great experience. At least even if they just don't sign up for training, they learn some things they can take with them in their own exercise.
Right.
MikeBallFitness@Outlook.com is my email. MikeBallFitness@Outlook.com. Feel free to shoot me an email. My phone number, if you want to shoot me a text or a call. I'm busy a lot during the day, but you shoot me a text or a call, I guarantee I'll get back with you as soon as I can. It's 517-316-5849.
That's on your Facebook page, too, I'm looking at right
that's
now.
That's thrown on my Facebook page. That's out there. So if anybody's interested, if you got questions, like, I just love the opportunity to spread the gospel of health and fitness. It's fun for me. It's what I do. So anybody has any questions or you want either curiosity, peaked or something there with fitness, you know, come ask some questions and I'll do my best to answer them and help you out a little bit.
There you go. Mike Ball, he's such a great guy, an incredible trainer. The director of personal training over at Snap Fitness. Snap Fitness is right off of Grand River, right next to MSU's campus. Go and check him out. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for joining me on Current Sports.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
Enjoyed it.
Appreciate it. All right, when we return to Current Sports, we'll dive into our Current Sports section of the show. We'll remind you all we'll be taking your calls right after the break, 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics, our interview with Mike, if you got some comments on that. We'll talk about anything, all right? Stay tuned. More Current Sports is next.
Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, one unexpected consequence of the Texas oil boom, soaring electricity bills that are crippling some small businesses.
The extra $6,000 they got on this 1 month bill was the equivalent of another 600 or so customers coming through the door. And it's not as though you can make that up very easily.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished talking with the director of personal training over at Snap Fitness in East Lansing, Mike Ball. Such a great guy, giving us insight on how to live a better and healthier lifestyle and also the entire steroid epidemic in the world of baseball. Well, let's move on to our Current Sports section. Before we dive into that, though, Current Sports, we actually took a trip down to Mateen Cleaves, his summer basketball camp entitled One Goal, One Passion, such a great basketball camp. He was actually on the show a few weeks ago talking about that camp, and that camp was actually in town last week for 3 days in Lansing, right here in Lansing. It's now going to Flint for a day and then Benton Harbor for a day, and it's a free camp, a really, really cool event, and of course, at the camp, Mateen invited, you know, some of his Flintstones with him. I mean, that included Charlie Bell, Morris Peterson, tons of guests, really cool event, and yeah, we took a trip out there to talk to him a little bit about it.
I really like Mateen Cleaves, and I'd like to learn more about basketball. I've learned to have good defense, keep the ball to my side, do good triple threat, and use your pivot foot and jump shot.
Really, it's a basketball camp, a free camp we give for the kids. It's called One Goal, One Passion. And one thing we try to do is we use basketball, that's the draw. We use that to get the kids here. And we want them to go away with not only learning how to play, become better basketball players, but nutrition, learn how to eat right, setting life goals, learning how to set goals. So the basketball is a draw, but it's called it One Goal, One Passion, because at the end of the day, we want you to formulate everything together and just win. My whole thing is that when I want them to get away from here, learn how to work, whether that's sports, whether that's school, whether that's you want to be an entertainer, you want to be a doctor, lawyer, whatever it is, learn how to work hard.
For me, it's pretty good. I've been here for about 3 years now. I have a couple businesses here in town, and I've learned to call East Lansing my home now. So it's really nice to be out here and interact with some of these kids. Let them look. They love looking at tall guys walking around. It really excites them. So it's good to put a smile on a kid's face. Pretty lively. I mean, these kids are pretty happy right now, pretty energetic. They're working extremely hard, but it's the first morning of the first day. So we'll see how it transfers 3 days later. But again, that's part of being an athlete. You know, you train hard for a day and you feel it the next day. And that's what we're trying to get across to these kids today.
Well, really, I used to play ball, and my mom started a basketball camp. Me and my mom, when I first got drafted to the Pistons back in 2000, and she had an idea about starting a basketball camp and giving back to the youth. And we just came back up with it, and I partnered up with Myers. We ran the idea by Myers. They wanted to get involved with it, the Boys and Girls Club, Fathead, Coca-Cola, everybody just started coming aboard, and hey, we put it together, and it's been such a joy. You know, we're going to have it for 3 days here. I'm doing one in Flint. I'm doing one in Benton Harbor. So we're just working right now. So we're excited about it.
Chance to see a lot of kids, get a chance to have something they haven't had around in a while. Just nice little camp to get out and have some fun and learn some things from great people, great players, great coaches. I think it's kind of like a wake-up call for them because, I mean, they probably see us on TV. I know we're kind of older, so they probably see videos and things like that. But basically one of the kids coming up like, are you really Kelvin Torbert? So, I mean, I think that was probably one of the funniest things I had today.
In East Lansing and Lansing, it's near and dear to my heart. When I left Flint and came in this area, they embraced me. And I feel that I owe it to the younger kids that's coming up. And that's why we do a free camp, because I said I never charge somebody how to play basketball because somebody taught me how to play. So I can never charge you to learn how to play basketball. So that's what it's all about. But it's very near and dear to my heart, man. It means so much to me to be able to come back and interact with the youth here in Lansing.
Yeah, such a cool basketball camp. Again, that was Mateen Cleaves' basketball camp that actually took a visit to the city of Lansing for 3 days. It's now in Flint, and then we'll be traveling to Benton Harbor, a totally free basketball camp. Truly fun. And the kid you heard at the beginning, that's Brody Barner, trying to learn how to dribble and everything. That's great stuff right there. So Mateen, always a great member of the community and trying to do some influential things, admirable things in the community. So definitely that was nice going out to that. All right, well, let's dive into our current sports topics really, really fast as the hour is just flying by. Man, we're already 1:35. All right, the MSU U of M Golf Challenge. MSU won the Big Ten AD Golf Challenge at the Country Club of Lansing yesterday. This is MSU's third straight year winning the event, and the match was pretty tight. This is probably the highlight of the day. Pretty tight between Michigan AD Dave Brandon and MSU Athletic Director Mark Hollis. Hollis actually synced a 25-footer. And the footage is online. If you go, just Google it. I mean, Mark Hollis, 25-footer. Mark Hollis sunked a 25-footer to send his match with Dave Brandon into overtime, where he would pull off the win over Brandon. It was really cool stuff. A clutch putt from current sports friend Mark Hollis. It was unbelievable. Pretty clutch. Now, they also, before they went out and hit the links, they talked about various things, including the possibility of a MSU-U of M night football game. Now, for those hoping for a night football game between Michigan and Michigan State, it may be a while, though. Dave Brandon says, quote, "We don't think it's a good idea from our perspective, the nature of that rivalry and the intensity of it. When you put that on a prime time and get everybody all day long to gear up for it, I know hosting that at Michigan Stadium, we think that's probably taking a step further, and it needs to go. It can definitely get rowdy, talking about a night game with an intense rivalry like Michigan and Michigan State and the hate that those two schools have for each other. That would be pretty intense. Fun, but intense. Now, this season, the Spartans, they host Western Michigan in the opener at night, and Michigan hosts Notre Dame at night. Now, the ABC, ESPN brand, and Big Ten Network have pushed for more night games in recent years, and the various ADs and Commissioner Jim Delaney conceded that even the sacred November schedule may draw night games in the near future. So it could happen in the near future. We don't know, though. The ADs certainly don't like it just from the rowdiness perspective, which is totally understandable. All right, Damian Harris to Michigan. Now, Damian Harris, a 5'11" speedster from Kentucky, committed to the University of Michigan football for their 2015 class yesterday. Michigan just continues to really snag some big recruits. Harris chose Michigan over the in-state Wildcats and SEC schools. He is the number 45 overall player and number 4 running back in 24/7 sports class of 2015. And other suitors for Harris were Notre Dame and Ohio State. Now, this is the fourth commitment for Michigan's 2015 class that already includes many, many great recruits. And they snag another one. Michigan really, it's something in the water over there because they are definitely snagging some pretty big names. As we move on now, A-Rod suspended possibly under the new labor deal. A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, and his attorney are focusing on a potential appeal. But even that may not be enough to get him back on the field this season. The Yankee slugger is expected to face a stiff suspension, as we just talked about with Mike Ball here about the whole Biogenesis PED scandal, one that he could appeal, delaying the punishment in order to play this season. Now, the 38-year-old has said playing in the majors is his, quote, primary focus, end quote. MLB may have other plans, though. The league could move to suspend A-Rod under the collective bargaining agreement instead of its drug rules, which would more or less take away any chance for any type of appeal for A-Rod. The Yankees expect A-Rod to be accused of lying to the MLB in the past when discussing his relationship with Dr. Anthony Galea, who pleaded guilty 2 years ago of bringing unapproved drugs to the U.S. from Canada. And it just doesn't look good for A-Rod. So, man, that guy, A-Rod went from really a popular athlete to now, you know, his name just being dragged throughout the media for negative press, I tell you that. So, all right, and another guy whose name is being dragged each and every day concerning this whole murder investigation concerning Odin Lloyd is Aaron Hernandez. Now, Connecticut and Massachusetts police, they have searched a pond near Aaron Hernandez's home. Now, the search started Monday and continued today with both Connecticut police and Bristol County District Attorney declining to comment. Now, while they had declined to comment, others are saying that there are ties to this search and the murder weapon in the death of Odin Lloyd. Now, they believe that the crime was committed with a .45 caliber Glock, which has not been recovered yet. That's why they're possibly searching this pond, and they have already executed search warrants in locations around the Bristol area in connection with Hernandez and his associates, and have found a vehicle at Hernandez's uncle's house that was wanted in a 2012 double homicide. So this story just gets more and more ridiculously intriguing. And divers searched the lake for 8 hours yesterday before returning this morning. So we'll see if they find that gun that was used in that murder case. All right, Phelps coming back. That's right, Michael Phelps ended his career after the London Olympics, but he now says there may be a chance to change his plans. Quote, "I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I love what I'm doing now. I'm able to travel so much, play golf." And he actually was playing golf And I think he jammed his small toe of his right foot, and he broke it, I think. So Phelps is hurt right now. But anyway, he goes on to say, I'm on my schedule. I've never been able to have that. I've never been able to do whatever really I want to do. I go wherever I go. I go wherever I want to go. I see whatever I want to see. It's nice waking up at 10, 11, 12 in the afternoon. I'm pretty lazy besides playing golf. I don't do much, end quote. So he still has time for a comeback now because Phelps will be 31 at the time of the opening ceremony for the Rio Games in 2016. So he's thinking about it, guys. You might see the human fish back in the water. All right, Daniel Booby Gibson, battery charge. Daniel Gibson, who has played 7 seasons for the Cleveland Cavaliers, he turned himself in yesterday morning on second-degree battery charges. That's according to New Orleans Police Department spokesman Gary Flatt. Now, Gibson, who is now a free agent, he is accused of punching a man in a New Orleans club at 5:15 in the morning on July 8th and breaking his lower jaw bone. Now, adding to the altercation was he said he was provoked by a verbal exchange. Now, Gibson was released on bond from the 8th District station, which he went to with his attorney. Now, a TV station in New Orleans first reported Gibson turning himself in, and a statement released by TMZ. That's right. I never thought I'd be quoting TMZ here on Current Sports, but we are. Here's the quote. He says, earlier this month during the Essence Music Festival, I was involved in an incident with other individuals while I was out with my wife. It's unfortunate that some see the opportunity in taking advantage of people who work so hard for what they have achieved. Once all the facts of the incident come out, I expect to be fully vindicated. That was a quote by Daniel Gibson, who is 27 years old, and he is married to singer. She has a lovely voice. Keisha Cole. Keisha Cole, she performed at the Essence Music Festival on July 6th, where this incident took place. He was actually at the event supporting his wife as she performed there. Now, the point guard is known as a three-point specialist, is coming off his worst season in which he only averaged 5.4 points over 46 games and shot a career-worst 34% from the field and 34% on threes last season. So, all right, let's go on to our last segment of Current Sports. Pick 'em. No, excuse me, that's my script is, I tell you, someone's been in my script. I tell you, because that's the wrong thing. I got Monday's script up here. We're going to go on to Tuesday's special segment, Top 5 Tuesdays. That's right. Give us a call at the station here, 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. Again, not picking Mondays. That was Monday. Today's Tuesday. Top 5 Tuesdays coming right at you. More Current Sports is next. Stick around.
On the next Fresh Air, the story of Masters and Johnson and their controversial research into human sexuality based on observing volunteers engaged in the act. We talk with Thomas Mayer. His book, Masters of Sex, which has been adapted into a Showtime series, drew on interviews with Virginia Johnson, who died last week. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, as always, Al Martin. Welcome back to the show. At the top of the hour, we talk with Snap Fitness Director of Personal Training, Mike Ball. He was great and just got done with our Current Sports section of the show. And now it's Tuesday, so that means Top 5 Tuesdays is coming right at you as I invite my great production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, as we list. This is going to be a very fun one. The top 5 most, the top 5 greatest sports ejections of all time. This should be a fun one, guys.
Tough list.
It's a very tough list because to narrow all of the ejections that have happened in sports down to just 5. There have been a lot of ejections in sports. But man, that I had to rack my brain about this a little bit, guys. This should be interesting. So, who wants to kick it off, man? Yeah. I'll go last.
All right, I'll kick it off. But yeah, I mean, actually, back to our Snap Fitness trainer that was here earlier. Great questions about the McDonald's salads that I know you typically have ordered before.
Right. I eat those a lot, man. I'm thinking like, all right, I feel good after eating a salad. But at the same time, you remember we had, earlier in the current sports realm, we had a boxer on here who was talking about, you know, what he eats. And he said, and I asked him the same question. And he said that the salads aren't really that healthy because, as Mike said, they're iceberg salads. But at the same time, it all depends on what you put on the salad and blah, blah, blah. But I'm trying to stay fit, guys. And it's tough sometimes because you drive by, you see that McDonald's sign, and you're like, man.
Catch one whiff of those fries.
And it's,
get a number 7.
Exactly. Know? Give me a number
Supersize
7.
Supersize it.
Supersize that thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, someone who didn't actually and like when they first got a whiff of those fries, someone did not like a call. And I'm going to kick it off with my number 5 with David Ortiz. This actually happened 2 days ago. David Ortiz gets a called first strike. He was up 3-0. He gets called a strike on a ball that was absolutely above his elbows. Umpire calls a strike. He's up 3-0.
Yeah.
Ortiz looks at him, glares at him, still stays back in the batting box, goes through strike 2. Then strikes out on a curveball down low. He yells at the umpire, goes back to the dugout, takes his bat, and smashes the phone to the left, smashes the phone to the right. There's wood breaking off of the walls in the dugout.
Right.
This was just a horrible scene. He then walks out from the dugout onto the field, starts coming at the ref. They have to have 3 guys hold Ortiz back. This was just bad. I was against the Baltimore Orioles 2 days ago. Take a look at this one. David Ortiz smashing the phone in the dugout with his bat. That's my number 5. Number 4, I'm not sure if this warranted an ejection, but this is just great. Rod Allen chasing a Japanese pitcher way back when he played in the Japanese leagues. It is an unbelievable sight. Check that one out on YouTube, too. Number 3, you guys, I'm sure, may have this one already, but Serena Williams coming at one of the line judges.
Yeah.
Number 2, Mississippi Braves manager Philip Wellman covering up the base with the dirt, crawling from the midfield onto the
Who can forget
mound.
That one? That was.
And number 1, Bob Knight throwing the chair. Yeah. That was just too much for me.
It's classic.
Classic.
It is. I mean, you
like
still
synonymous.
See that all the time.
Right.
Bob Knight just tossing that chair.
Right.
Anytime I toss a chair, I dream that it travels like Bob Knight's chair. That was,
and it kind of like glided.
It was
poetry.
It really is. It is poetry in motion, this chair.
And even punting the basketball, too.
He did it all, man. Bob Knight is notorious for his ejections and going off.
Quick temper.
Good stuff.
All right, man. My list, another guy known for quick temper at number 5, John McEnroe.
Yeah.
1990 Australian Open, there was a crying baby in the crowd. He had that baby escorted out. He yelled at a lineswoman. Then he swore at the ump, supervisor, and referee, smashed his racket, and there was a new rule at the time that if you got 3 code violations, you would be disqualified.
Right.
He originally thought he was going to have to forfeit a game in the match.
Right.
Instead, he's disqualified. Pretty much loses it. He was one of the many moments where John McEnroe kind of, you know, loses his temper and just flies off the handle a little bit.
He brought a lot of excitement to tennis.
Absolutely.
Because he would argue, if he was so passionate about it and such a fiery guy and loved to win, so competitive, that, I mean, he would go off on these rants that made great TV and brought a lot of people to the game, to be honest with you.
Exactly. You know, some people say he was a hothead, but he just had personality. And
he
at
did.
The time, tennis kind of needed it, so it was welcome. His bad boy attitude, it was kind of welcome because he definitely he put butts in the seats. That's for sure.
And I tell you what, I like his commentary as a broadcaster too.
Yeah,
I think he's very insightful. He does a great job on TV.
Still gets a little bit angry.
A little bit angry. Oh yeah, a little bit angry. But that's great too.
Nothing compared to the old days. All right, number four. This is an odd ejection. Tim Duncan, one of the most respected players in the NBA, probably top five, I would say. He's had a long-standing feud with referee Joey Crawford, and it pretty much all stems back to the 2007 matchup versus the Dallas Mavericks.
Right.
He gets two technicals in, I don't know, roughly 45 seconds for laughing on the bench. He doesn't say anything. He gets called for a foul, goes to the bench. Guy misses a free throw. He laughs and claps. You know, ball don't lie. Classic Rasheed Wallace.
Right, classic.
You know, they get another foul called. Guy makes the free throw. Tim Duncan laughs at that initial foul call, and Joe Crawford has had enough, feels he's being shown up, and sends him packing. And it's just weird because you do not think of Tim Duncan as someone who has ever been ejected or ever really.
No, never. I mean, he's so quiet. He's so classy. He just does. He does. You won't see him flaunting after he makes one of those turn around jumpers off the glass, Mr. Fundamental.
Exactly.
And you know, when you talk about him getting ejected, that's Joey Crawford's pride right there.
Absolutely.
Coming in the way of that one.
Yeah,
I do remember that one.
That's probably Joey Crawford's like notch on his belt that he's most proud of. Like I kicked Tim Duncan out of an NBA game.
He probably.
That's an accomplishment.
He probably did just so he could say that.
Right, like he'll tell his grandsons about that one for sure. All right, number three, I'm going to go minor league baseball. Gary Allenson. It's kind of the opposite of the Phil Wellman tirade.
Right.
Okay, so someone hits a home run, but it's not a home run because it apparently got stuck in the fence, the outfield wall. If you're going to build a wall and you're a stadium designer, why is there an opening for the ball to get in? I don't know.
I don't get that.
That seems like the first thing you would build.
This is minor league. What team
minor
is
league.
This?
Oh, I had the Norfolk Tides.
The Norfolk Tides. Okay, I'm going
to
Google that one, too.
So he challenges the call.
Right.
Then decides, I'm going to go look at the fence way out in center field, and casually walks from the dugout all the way, climbs the fence, is looking in the outfield, you know, beyond the fence, looking for the ball, looking in the bushes, just strolling
when
around.
It's caught in the fence.
He's been thrown out at this point. Pretty much when he gets to the wall, he is thrown out, and he still takes probably 10 more minutes and then casually walks all the way back across the field. So it's just it was a silent protest, but it was just a big delay of game. It's an odd clip.
That's hilarious.
If you have 5 minutes to watch a guy just walk around a baseball field while everybody else stands around wondering what's going on, definitely do yourself a favor.
Right.
Number two, I got to go with Phil Wellman. The army crawl and the grenade toss is just classic.
Right.
You can't beat it.
You can't beat that. And he's acting like he's in the army or something. It's great.
It's amazing.
That is great.
I mean, you'll see that. You'll see that for decades.
Yes, you will.
Yeah. Job well done. Well done, Phil Wellman.
Well done. Oh, yeah.
And then number one, even though there weren't technically any ejections, it's got to be this one.
Now Ron Artest going after a fan.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. He would have to faint.
And it's Bedlam in Detroit, Steven Jackson, being held back by Eddie Gill. Oh, now a fan from behind with Ron.
And somebody's beating up Freddie.
They have gone berserk in Detroit.
Get somebody here to help.
No security on hand. Although Ron Artest going into the crowd, open that up. I don't think we're going to be seeing Ron Artest tomorrow night against Orlando.
Yeah, and they definitely didn't.
No, they did not. I mean, how can you forget that? I remember being young watching that game.
Yeah, all of us.
Live.
Just
and
insanity.
Was that the playoffs?
No.
That was
early
season.
Early regular season.
That was early regular season. I watch every Piston game. I remember watching that like, I can't believe what I'm watching.
I mean, everybody, it was, you know,
the
time
malice.
Stopped, it felt like. Yeah, 146 total games in suspensions handed out from that brawl. They had to cancel the last 45 seconds of the game. They couldn't really eject anybody because it was just so chaotic.
Right.
I mean, the entire stadium was just going crazy.
Right.
Artest, 86 games. Steven Jackson, 30 games. Jermaine O'Neal, 15 games. Tayshaun Prince was the only player to not leave the bench.
Look at Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, Tayshaun Prince. He does not rough the feathers, does
no,
he?
No,
that's why we got rid of him, I'd say. All right, Tayshaun Prince. So, all right, that's cute. I didn't know that. Tayshaun didn't come off the bench?
Little nugget of info.
But your homies are going off the bench and, you know, fighting, and you're like, okay, these are my team. Okay, I didn't know. I had to look at that video. That's interesting.
It's a crazy clip.
It's a crazy clip.
It's still shocking to watch even almost 10 years after it happened.
The malice at the palate. And I tell you what, during that time, Detroit is always, not even during that time, but it's always got a bad rep for being a violent city. That just kind of added.
Oh,
and it really
yeah.
upset me because it kind of added to that. Okay, of course they're playing Detroit when this happens. And,
right.
You know, it was just a fiasco. You can't forget that.
Oof,
so
ugly stuff.
Yeah, all right. My list is, you guys really always steal my thunder because I always go last, but that's, you know, I have a good one that you guys did not say, It's number one on my list, actually, but in no particular order for the other four. Of course, Bobby Knight and his whole chair fiascos. I mean, he's been notorious. I mean, you got to love Bob Knight and his passion for the game, but he did go overboard a lot of times. Another interesting one was Shaquille O'Neal. If you guys remember when Shaq actually got ejected for dunking on Andre Kirilenko. Do you guys remember that? If you YouTube this, Shaquille O'Neal grabs the ball, going out of bounds. He saves it right on the baseline. Just like a regular play, just grabs the ball, dunks right on Andre Kirilenko, and starts trotting down the court, and they give him a tech for no reason. Shaq's like looking around like, what did I do? I just dunked on the guy. I mean, it's part of the game of basketball. It is so funny because he does nothing. And YouTube that if you got a chance. So that definitely made my list. I tell you what, another one, well, Phil, of course, with the whole grenade, you know, throwing the grenades and going crazy. Serena and the Lion Judges. Of course, the most recent one with her was another big one. But this one really took the cake for me. And I didn't know about it until doing some research and doing some reading. But in 2009, there was actually a high school umpire in Iowa, who ejected, get this, he ejected everyone in the crowd. I am not lying. This high school umpire ejected everyone in the crowd because he said that they were getting too unruly. The game finished with no one in the stands. So he actually made this ruling, and people actually took off like, all right, I guess we're ejected, and they went home. No one was in the stands after this happened. Again, this happened in 2009. High school ump in Iowa. He ejected everyone in the crowd. Apparently, you know, the crowd was getting really rowdy, saying that, hey, ump, you're blind. You can't see anything. He got really upset. I mean, obviously you can see because he's umping a high school game, but he got really, right. really, really, really ticked about it. And, you know, the crowd refused to believe his argument, and he said, hey, you guys go home. You're ejected from this game, and everybody left. I could not believe it.
Now, when he ejected everyone, did he just, like, point to the entire crowd and then toss them?
I'm not sure.
I don't know how he would.
That would be pretty cool to do.
Take the PA announcer's mic and just say, hey, everybody,
right, everybody,
you're
you
out.
Gotta go. You gotta go. You're
over.
Out. It's over. Get out of here. I don't know. I don't think. I haven't seen video of it. I just read about it, and I'm like, wow.
That's amazing.
That's amazing stuff. All right. Very good list, gentlemen. That was pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Again, if you would, give us your top five ejections. If you disagree with us, go on Facebook.com/currentsports and give us your top five ejections in sports history. Of course, I came up with this idea because the whole Miguel Cabrera getting ejected in the third inning the other day over the weekend was just ridiculous to me. So we decided to dedicate it to our top five ejections. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Thanks you guys out there for listening. Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke, production assistants, intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Mike Ball. He was great. Director of personal training at Snap Fitness in East Lansing. Great health advice for you all. Again, same time, same place tomorrow. You will listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, take care and be easy, people.